Welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I'm Annabelle Pitcott.
And I'm Bill Pitcott.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into something that's, well, it's deeply personal for so many.
It's profoundly confusing, and yet what we found is that it's also fundamentally hopeful. We're talking about the world of infertility.
We've synthesized a really powerful stack of insights for you today, and we're drawing exclusively from the bestseller ebooks that you can find on the Pitcott ebook store.
Our whole mission here is to try and turn what feels overwhelming into something, you know, actionable.
Absolutely. And if you want to get your hands on these resources, I mean, the full compass for this journey, you should definitely visit www.pitcott.com/books.
Yeah, go there to download the full comprehensive guides. We're giving you the shortcut today, but those resources, they're the complete support system.
The authors of the Pitcott material, they frame this journey so perfectly. They say navigating infertility often feels like wandering in a fog.
That's such a good description. It's heavy, it's full of uncertainty, and it can feel, well, just fundamentally unfair.
Right. And we want to try and cut through some of that fog right away.
Okay, so let's start with the core message, the positive takeaway first. The guides are so insistent on this point. Infertility is nobody's fault.
Nobody's. It's a shared challenge. It's something that hits couples together, and it demands that they approach it together.
That really is the foundational truth we have to start with.
And here's where the data, it really starts to challenge some of those old assumptions we all have.
Mm.
The Pitcott research reveals a genuinely surprising fact. Male factors. They're part of around 40% of infertility cases.
40%. When you hear a number like that, it instantly shatters that old inaccurate narrative that this is, you know, purely a women's issue.
Exactly.
It makes it so clear that we're dealing with a complex biological system.
Right.
Two people, which is why I think the guides call it a puzzle, not a prism.
Precisely. It's a puzzle. And that first piece we really need to look at closely is that 40% male factor statistic.
And what's so empowering about the male side of this equation is how much actionable lifestyle change can actually, well, it can genuinely move the dial.
It really can. So when the Pitcott guides talk about male infertility, what are we actually looking at?
It almost always boils down to three main areas, all affecting the sperm itself.
Right.
You've got a low count, you've got poor quality movement, and then there's irregular shape.
And we should probably get a bit more specific about those. When we say weak swimmers, that's the common way of talking about poor motility.
The ability to actually move with purpose toward the egg.
Yeah, and quickly. And no. Irregular shapes, that's morphology. The sperm needs a very specific, clean head shape to be able to penetrate the egg.
That makes total sense. It's not just about the numbers. It's about the quality and the functionality.
Exactly. Now, the material details a bunch of external things that can have a huge influence on these factors.
Things we might just dismiss as, you know, minor daily stressors.
Mm-hmm. Things like chronic, sustained high stress levels, the damage that smoking does over time, or excessive alcohol. The guides, they don't mince words about cutting down on what they just call booze.
Ah, yeah. Direct. And then there's the one that I think is the stealthiest culprit of all.
Heat.
Heat. Why is that one so silent in the process? It's the one that surprises most people.
Well, because sperm production, spermatogenesis, it needs a slightly cooler environment than our core body temperature.
That's why the body is designed the way it is, with the testes external.
Exactly. So simple things like spending a lot of time in hot tubs or even certain tight clothing can consistently raise that temperature.
And that slows down production and damages the quality.
Yes. So what are the actionable, simple swaps the Pitcott material recommends?
It really starts small, but with big implications. The most cited physical one is just switching from briefs to boxers.
To allow for better air circulation and temperature regulation. It's so simple.
But just as critical are the mental adjustments. The guides say to find ways to, and this is a quote, chill out a bit.
Managing stress is absolutely fundamental because those stress hormones, they just wreak havoc on the hormones needed for sperm production.
And then, of course, there's the fuel, the nutrition part.
The recommendations here are so critical for providing what the Pitcott material calls sperm mojo.
I love that term. So what are they focusing on?
heavily on specific micronutrients. We're talking about zinc, selenium, and a really high intake of antioxidants.
And these aren't just, you know, feel-good supplements. They have very specific jobs to do.
Very specific. Zinc, for example, is crucial for producing the outer layer and the tail of the sperm. So that's structure and movement right there.
Okay. And selenium and antioxidants.
They're vital because they protect the sperm's DNA from damage, what's called oxidative damage. That's what can lead to those irregular shapes and just make them less viable.
So you're basically protecting the integrity of the whole mission plan. And where can we find these things easily?
Oh, they're readily available in Whole Foods. Just like leafy greens, a whole range of nuts and seeds, berries.
Anything with rich color.
Exactly. Dense with vitamins. It's about eating clean and smart, not just for general health, but specifically for reproductive function.
And we can't forget activity. The guides really emphasize that exercise is a complete win-win.
It really is for two main reasons. First, regular, moderate exercise is key for balancing your overall hormone levels, including testosterone.
And second,
it just ensures good blood flow everywhere in the body, which, critically, includes the reproductive organs. But there is a caveat.
Moderation.
Moderation. You want to avoid the extreme heat or localized pressure that some really high-intensity endurance training might create.
Okay. But before a couple starts making all these changes, the very first step has to be diagnosis.
Yes. The Pitcott resources stress how important and how easy it is to get a semen analysis.
It's the absolute first piece of the puzzle. It's a simple, non-invasive test that tells you, and I'm quoting here, exactly what's up.
Right. With count, motility, morphology. It allows you to precisely target your next steps. Without that data, you're guessing.
So if lifestyle changes are the issue, how long does it take for those changes to show up in a new analysis? Because sperm isn't made overnight.
That is a vital question. The authors remind us that the entire process per metagenesis, it takes about 72 to 90 days.
Wow, so almost 3 months.
Right. So if a man stops smoking, starts taking zinc, and, you know, avoids the hot tub today, he won't see the full benefit until roughly 3 months from now.
So consistency and patience are everything.
Everything. That test really starts the clock.
Okay, that reframes the timeline beautifully. So now let's pivot. Let's talk about the other half of this puzzle, the incredible but also incredibly complex female reproductive system.
The complexity here often centers around what is really a delicate dance, ovulation.
And that process of releasing a viable egg, it can be derailed by so many things.
Both internal and external factors, yeah.
Things like thyroid issues, which are so subtle but can be massively disruptive, or hormonal imbalances like you see with PCOS.
Mm-hmm. Or, and here it is again, high sustained chronic stress. The guides really underscore how stress hormones directly interfere with the brain's signals.
The signals that tell the ovaries when it's time to release an egg.
Exactly. It's a domino effect. It's all rooted in the body's fight or flight response. If you're constantly stressed, your body is just going to prioritize survival.
Not reproduction.
Not reproduction. And beyond ovulation, you could have mechanical issues, actual roadblocks, like the quality of cervical mucus.
It matters immensely. It's like the gatekeeper and the pathway all in one.
It is. And if it's too thick or sometimes too acidic, it basically becomes a no-go zone for sperm. They just can't get through.
And then you have actual structural blockages, like cerval stenosis.
Which is a narrowing of the cervical canal itself.
And finally, there's the uterine landscape, which is where a lot of couples run into these significant physical hurdles that need medical help.
Yes. We're talking about conditions like fibroids, which are benign growths, or ovarian cysts. And then maybe the most complex of all, endometriosis.
Endometriosis. That sounds like a heavy clinical term. For listeners who might not know, how do the Pitcott materials define that?
The authors give a really succinct definition. It's a condition where tissue that's similar to the lining of the uterus starts to grow outside the uterus.
So on the ovaries, fallopian tubes, places like that.
Exactly. And this misplaced tissue causes severe inflammation, scarring, and crucially, blockages. It can stop the egg and sperm from ever meeting or stop an embryo from implanting.
That sounds incredibly daunting. But the critical takeaway, and it's built right into the Pitcott material, is reassurance.
Yes. Even with these known complex hurdles, options still exist. That's the part that offers so much relief.
But we also have to acknowledge the sheer frustration of what's called unexplained infertility.
The statistic on this really stands out to me.
Me too. After all the tests or run semen analysis, ovarian reserves, all the structural checks, about 10% of couples face this.
10%. No clear cause is identified. It's the ultimate psychological hurdle. I mean, what do you do when you don't even have an enemy to fight?
The guides provide such immediate and necessary comfort here. They say a lack of diagnosis doesn't mean a lack of solutions.
Right. Doctors will often proceed with what are called empirical treatments, so things like targeted hormonal support or assisted ways forward.
Like IUI or ultimately IVF. You're not at a dead end just because the reason is unknown.
And that leads us right into talking about one of the most powerful sources of, well, real hope for so many couples, IVF.
In vitro fertilization, you know, even though it's more common now, it still feels kind of shrouded in this technical mystery.
The Pidcot sources do a great job of breaking down the process really clearly, just demystifying it.
So what does that multi-step dance look like?
It begins with ovarian stimulation. Doctors use carefully regulated medications to boost the production of multiple eggs in one cycle.
To maximize the chances. Yeah.
Then step two, timing is everything. Right. Once those eggs are mature, they're retrieved in a minor procedure.
Egg collection.
Then step three is the in vitro part, literally in glass.
Yeah.
The collected eggs are combined with the sperm in a specialized lab.
To encourage fertilization.
Right. And step four is nurturing those fertilized eggs into viable embryos, watching them for several days.
And the specialists select the strongest, healthiest looking one.
Yes. And finally, step five, that strongest embryo is implanted back into the uterus, where hopefully it will, well, implant and lead to a pregnancy.
It's a miracle of science, but it's also a stressful one. And what's fascinating is how the source immediately pivots from the clinical process to the intense emotional uncertainty that comes next.
Oh, the dreaded two-week wait.
At 10 to 14 days between the implantation and the test, It's just this massive period of emotional intensity.
Hope, anxiety, dread, all of it. The guides are very clear that couples need psychological strategies just to get through that short window of time.
It's a period where you're just waiting for biology to decide your fate. And that emotional reality is just as important as the clinical steps.
Mm.
And that focus on providing holistic resources is exactly why we want to encourage you right now to explore the wide range of support that Pidcot offers.
Yeah, whether you're navigating the complex science or the emotional toll of that two-week wait, or even the financial realities, there are resources there designed to support you. Visit www.pidcot.com. Just check it out.
Because if we connect this all back to the bigger picture, you see that infertility isn't just a physical diagnosis. It impacts your whole self.
The Pidcot guides really emphasize that this journey is profoundly emotional, it's mental, and it's spiritual.
Which is why relying only on the medical solutions, the shots, the procedures, it just isn't enough.
Now, a holistic plan that addresses that mind-body connection is absolutely essential for coping and for improving outcomes.
So what does that holistic prescription actually look like?
It starts with the absolute foundation of wellness. You have to eat well, you know, focus on those anti-inflammatory whole foods. You have to move often, keep that healthy blood flow and hormonal balance, and maybe most important, you have to breathe deeply.
Engage that parasympathetic nervous system.
Exactly. And beyond those fundamentals, the material details, specific tools for actively managing the immense pressure.
So we're moving from just being stressed to actively coping.
Right. This could be dedicated practices like yoga, which helps integrate your breath and movement to calm your whole system down.
Or meditation, which gives you the mental space to just observe anxiety without being totally overwhelmed by it.
Or, and this is maybe the most effective, finding professional therapy.
The sources make such a strong case for therapy, not just as a place to vent, but as a space to process grief.
What's such a good point. This journey often involves grieving the loss of the easy path to parenthood you expected.
And recognizing that grief is a healthy, necessary part of the process.
And what's fascinating is that the goal of all these holistic tools isn't to eliminate stress, because that's impossible.
Right.
It's to build resilience so that the stress doesn't disrupt your hormones or paralyze your decision making.
It's also about realizing you don't have to do it alone. The material stress is building your squad.
A carefully curated network. Friends, supportive family, specialized doctors, counselors.
The key directive is just don't go it alone. Isolation just compounds the emotional strain.
But sharing the burden lessens it. It gives you other viewpoints, other places for support when you just feel completely depleted.
And all this knowledge is only valuable when you understand it and apply it. And the best way to do that is to be an active participant.
The Pidcot resources really encourage you to stay active and curious in your own treatment. You should be driving the process, not just be a passenger.
That means you have to ask the probing questions. You have to stay curious about your test results.
You need to be your own champion through this. Don't just accept a vague answer without understanding the why and the what's next.
So what does this all mean for the listener who is right now, today, walking through that initial fog?
As we synthesize the core conclusion from the Pitcop material, we have to circle back to that first metaphor.
The puzzle.
Yes. Infertility may feel brutal and overwhelming and just all-consuming, but it truly is more puzzle than prison.
And that means that every single test result, every diagnosis, even the frustrating lack of one, is just another piece.
It's another piece of the puzzle, directing your effort and your energy. Each piece can fit into a comprehensive plan.
And that is such a powerful thought to end on. We really want you to stay brave, stay hopeful.
You're not broken. You are powerful, and you are so capable of navigating this complexity.
This road may not be short, it may not be easy, but the resources we've drawn from today assure us that by approaching it holistically and actively, it can still lead to joy.
And maybe the sweetest little footsteps. Thank you for listening to the Pitcop Podcast.
If you enjoyed this deep dive, please take a moment to subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And please press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find it too.
Thank you for being there with us.
I will leave a link in the description below.
And we strongly encourage you one last time to visit www.pitcop.com for more resources on this complex and truly hopeful topic.